You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is the 30th of September. You know what that means, right? As in, like, the last day of the month. Tomorrow is October. I love me some October. The spookiness, the hoops, the football, everything just amps up. I love the month of October. Major League Baseball playoffs, all of that gets going on. And it kind of reflects and resembles the type of shows we're going to have from here on out, right? So coming up today over the next 3 hours, I'm going to touch on everything I just hit on. We're going to hit and hear on the latest from Pelicans practice. Yesterday was practice two. Today is practice three. Monday, right here in your home for Pelicans basketball, Pels take on the Minnesota Timberwolves on Monday night. So we'll touch on that, obviously, as we get closer to that, but we'll hear from the guys as they continue to kind of hopefully put together a team and a season that, yes, means the postseason. That is the goal. That is what everybody wants. So we will see, and we'll hear from that coming up shortly. Also, of course, the Saints back at it, taking on the Giants. Line still at 7.5 points. It's still at 7.5 points going into Sunday's contest. Over-under is 42. Let's give you an idea of whether or not they think it's going to be a high-scoring game or not. Jameis Winston spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him this segment on some of the things that he touched on. He spoke for 18 minutes. Spoke about being home. Spoke about the decisions. Spoke about that he would actually do it again. Yes, he would throw the ball again to Marquez Callaway. His reasoning behind it. You'll hear that shortly. So we'll touch on that coming up as well. Plus, of course, we'll speak with a pair of voices as we like to on College Football Thursday. Chip Patterson coming up at 2:30. Massive games in college football this weekend. Ole Miss at Alabama. LSU hosting Auburn. Which pair of Tigers do you trust more? LSU or Auburn? Could TJ Finley come into Tiger Stadium and get a win? What would that be like? Right? He was an LSU Tiger last year and started in Tiger Stadium. So we'll touch on that. And then Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, on, you've heard the phrase, must win. Yeah, this is not only a must win in terms of, you know, your hopes and all this other stuff, but it's a must win really for the season. It's a what kind of team are you game, I think, for Tulane. We've heard about the talent. We know about the effort, but it's about W's and L's. And you're going to ECU. That you have to have that game if you want any semblance of a successful season, right? And I understand everything that's happened, and I understand the schedule. But if you want to keep the streak of bowl seasons going, you cannot lose that game. Simple. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, will join us as well coming up this hour. And again, we'll get his thoughts on the Battle of Tigers coming up in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. Ben Heisler, your fantasy football questions at 12:30. Ross Jackson, we'll talk Saints with him, as there is a handful of topics going into it here as well. I was on a show earlier today, and I was asked my confidence level going into this game, and I said it's the highest I've felt in any of the games so far this season. Would y'all agree with me on that? I don't think really that's much of a, you know, bold statement. I honestly don't. I didn't think they were beating the Packers. They surprised everybody on that, right? I told y'all Carolina was going to be a tough game. I didn't expect it to be a disaster, right? But I didn't think, hey, the Saints are walking in there. It's an easy coast Sunday. I'm going to ice some beers and relax. I thought it was going to be a tough game. I thought New England, you know what, can kind of go either way there. And after that Carolina game, I don't think anybody was, quote unquote, confident that the offense would get back to what we saw with Green Bay. But I did think, as I mentioned last Friday, it couldn't get worse, which is why I was confident and picked the Saints to win 24-20. I said they cannot possibly block worse, right? this week, and I don't normally kind of look at games and say, well, you have an impact. I think you can. And in certain instances, we've seen it. I've been critical of the lack of a dome field advantage the last several years. The likes of Jordan the intern and others. I'll sell my tickets and pay for Christmas. I get it, but I'm just telling you, it does. I don't feel the invincibility that perhaps the dome once had. For whatever reason. The disappointments in the last previous Saints postseasons have come in the dome. So, again, until it's reestablished to where you could legitimately, tangibly see what we saw even in Carolina, false starts or quarterback delay of games or just making erroneous decisions because he's stressed out because of the environment. I that's just my opinion. I don't feel it has been consistently. A game here or there, sure. But I'm talking about consistently. But I do think, having been in the dome for big games and big moments, like the one we just celebrated, an anniversary of the Gleason punt block, I do think it is a factor this Sunday. You cannot look at the fact that this team has not played in front of a sold-out Superdome in almost two seasons. That's a big deal. You can't look at the NBA's postseason that just went through, Major League Baseball season that's going on now, and seeing college football go through 4 weeks and not think the home crowd isn't a factor. You can't look at the Saints going into their locker room after the Patriots victory and literally chanting, "We're going home." Hearing Callaway on Monday say, "I can't even tell you what it's like to be home." Listening to Jameis Winston yesterday literally touch on things that I think matter, like being home with your family. And I think one of those things that you look at is a sense of not only normalcy, relief, but maybe focus and all of that aspect of it. When you got stuff on your mind, I think it does affect you a bit. Here's what he had to say about having a little more family time.
Oh, man, the biggest thing is taking my son to school, right? I mean, just spending time with him waking up in the morning, let my wife just get some extra sleep, right? Picking up my baby boy, walking around with him downstairs, you know, getting the word. Like, just things that I couldn't really do at the hotel, you know what I'm saying? Because we were waking up and we were walking downstairs for a meeting, right? Being able to just spend some time with my wife, take my wife to dinner, right? On Monday night, man. So I think that was just good for me to just get back in that atmosphere because I know that our wives, they've been through a lot. You know, they've been on themselves a lot. My wife, she was in Tampa some. She was in New Orleans back and forth. So I'm just thankful for her, how resilient she was during this time. But that's the biggest thing, just trying to help out around the house.
All right, so your personal life, right? That should be a little bit more normal this week, even though for some it's probably like all of us. Dealing with adjusters, shaking your head, getting angry, all that other stuff, right? The tarp, the houses. Some of these players have had to deal with that as well. But also the creature comforts of home, your home facility, your own place to lift, your own locker.
Absolutely. You just, you're able to establish a good foundation. You're able to be efficient with your time. And just keep the main thing for the most part. Now, you're not worried about long bus rides or anything of that nature. But I'm not going to hash on that experience in Dallas. I was very thankful that his organization was able to provide us a place for us to escape and be able to still focus on football, right? I'm very thankful for that. But I'm more thankful for these very nice facilities we have around here that we can use and get in the weight room anytime that we want to. I go and talk to our lunch personnel, you know, anytime we want to. So I'm just excited to be here and I'm grateful.
Now, of course, so all of that should help you in the preparation of the Giants. And again, I look at the Giants and I look at them and say, okay, they're going to have to face the 12th man. They absolutely are. So our question of the day, as Jordan the intern just chimed in with it, how loud do you think the dome's going to be? Do you think it's going to be a release of energy? we were there for the, you know, the Jags preseason game. It felt great, just that little amount, but it was not what it's going to be Sunday. I legitimately think Saints fans can't wait to get back there. It's to scream and cheer and yell. You have a defense playing its stuff off, right? I mean, they're playing well. And they were just playing off their own built-in emotion. They're going to feed off of that emotion. There is no doubt. Winston on the fans.
Just having everybody electric in that Superdome. I think we feed off of that. I remember being on the other side, you know, going against these fans. And I know how much of an impact that affected me, affected our team. So I just think this community loves and embraces football more than a lot of communities the community that I've been a part of. It's just in the culture. Like, I'm a kid from Alabama. Like, I know about the Saints, right? I know how they live and breathe football down here.
Indeed. So, again, all of those aspects matter and help. And I do think at the end of the day, the play will improve, the timing will improve. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, and I will bring up to Ross Jackson, very first thing, actually, the Saints injury report. And when you look at it, I look at a couple of aspects of it. It's not long. I like that. First and foremost, not long. So, a very quick and brief, but I think important lead.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Four players. Four players and only two did not practice. That's it. That's your Wednesday Saints injury report. Eric McCoy, Teron Armstead didn't practice. Yes, that's a big deal. I understand that. We already know McCoy was going to be a bit. We already kind of knew from Monday's report from Ian Rappaport that Teron Armstead was going to be probably 3 to 6 weeks. We know that. It stinks. James Hurst spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him in a quick second. He's your guy. He's your left tackle, right? Look, Sean Payton yesterday said he trusts him. He believes in him, that he thinks that he can do a good job for him. And how he's going to prepare this week.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. If you don't, you find yourself in a pretty bad situation. So just understanding the rotation each week, you know, who's going to be up for the game. You know, some people may be out or some people go down during the game. So just understanding what could happen on game day and making sure you're prepared to go in at whatever spot that could be.
I said this yesterday. It's not on the injury report, but it's in the reports that were made in observations by people that attended practice. Luke Johnson was one of the first that I saw to tweet the fact that Will Clapp is off of IR, practiced. You remember, in the Green Bay game, after the game, we're all like, wow, Cesar Ruiz, great job. What was that like? Sean Payton, how about his play? It was great. If Will Clapp was healthy, we would have gone to him. Like, that's literally what Sean Payton did and said and answered in a question to how did Cesar Ruiz do? Deuce Windham this week tweeted his quick 3 to 5 word review on the offensive lineman. Cesar Ruiz didn't do well again. He's just struggling. And again, he spent all offseason, he spent all training camp, as he said in his own words during training camp, focusing on being a guard. Might have been different if you had Drew, who was communicating. Drew called out the mics. Drew slided protections. Drew knew everything. Eric McCoy was that guy this year. You lose him 5 snaps into the season. He's struggled. Period. There's no other way to say it. It's okay. It's okay. But that is a very big thing. If Will Clapp practiced yesterday, Will Clapp is starting at center, I would bet Jordan's snowballs on it. Okay? That's going to help the offensive line. Sean Payton said it. I'm not saying it. He said it in week one in a win. That's the guy I trust. If Will Clapp was healthy, he would have gone in at center. So that might help. That's something to keep an eye on. The other two players, I already told you about McCoy and Armstead, they didn't practice. The other two players on the injury report, Lattimore and Winston. What? Winston? Why is Winston on there? They have knee on there. Maybe he's got Bobo, whatever. All you got to know is this. Practice fully, okay? Lattimore, practice fully. That's it. That's your injury report. No one's limited. That's it. That's it. That's good. That's as healthy as they've been. It's as healthy as they've been. Got to go get that game on Sunday. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk about that game and observations from last Sunday's win with Mr. Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints. That is when we return on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Did you know the arrow in Amazon's logo represents A to Z? Maybe the My Computer Career logo should represent unemployed to employed. Ryan was out of work when he started classes in March. In September, he started his IT career working for Amazon, making more money than he ever thought possible. Here's a prime opportunity. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, as always. We enjoy the conversation with Mr. Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints. Ross, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, brother. Doing well, man. Glad to be here with you. How you holding up?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Looking forward to the weekend. Yesterday, Jameis Winston said...
But it was in a safe spot, right? So when you're throwing away, you're giving your guy an opportunity to catch the ball or not.
God's plan's throw, my friend. He said he would do it again and again and again, and it was on purpose, even though it was still God's plan. He's sticking with it. He's sticking with it. I mean, it's, you know, God told him how to throw it away, yet to still make it up to where he can make a play. But it's all part of the plan, my friend.
Listen, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
That's right.
So yeah, if it works, it works. Keep it going. That's all I'm saying.
I said yesterday, and I was touching on it a little bit, Ross, and I want your opinion on this. I'm not freaking out about the two wins with 150 yards or less passing. I'm not freaking out that at times you go, oh boy, and I hear you. But I would feel differently if this was Drew, full offensive line, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Cooks. I mean, all of that, because that's a veteran group. They're familiar with the offense. It's players that you would expect and have done better. It's what we talked about back in August, Ross. You're asking players to do things they've never done. You're asking an all-pro kicker to be a number two receiver. You're asking an undrafted guy who filled in last year to be the number one receiver. You've lost your starting center 5 snaps in. You have guys playing out of position on the offensive line and new guys and a quarterback that's learning everything. I get to the bye. And they'll figure it out. That's kind of how I feel about it. Are you freaking out by the way the Saints offense looks?
No, not at all. And part of it is because it's sort of how we expected it to look. I mean, I know that we've always had conversations here on these Thursdays about how the Saints were going to be majority conservative early on in the season while everything gets into rhythm and not they're not interested in putting Jameis Winston in a situation to where you need Jameis Winston to win you the game. It's a team game. That's always the way that the Saints have played, and that's what the Saints have shifted to over the past couple of seasons. Over 130 yards, rushing eight times last year, as compared to oftentimes one time in seasons before that. Now you have it already twice here in three games. This has been the identity of the Saints for a while, especially as that defense has been improving. When they went from 17th overall to 14th overall after they added DeMario Davis, then they moved up to 11th in 2019 and then top five in 2020, and they're top five and top 10 in a lot of the most important statistical metrics so far this season over the course of three games. And so I think that it is a bit, there's a little bit of it that is what you expected to see. There's a little bit of it of the identity that they've been showing you that they have over the past season, at least. And it's just a bit of where this team has to go right now because of, as you mentioned, the unavailability that they have across the team on the offensive line, at the wide receiver position. You're down wide receiver one and two. Sean Payton mentioned the other day that they're not really working to build – well, they are working to build a mentality and a winning formula right now. Mm-hmm. But the identity of this team comes together after the bye week when all of these players come back together and you've got Michael Thomas and Traquan Smith and Eric McCoy and you have, you know, David Onyemata back a week after – the buyer, at least eligible to return at that time. So I think that that's really when this team settles in. Right now, they're going with the identity that they know is a winning formula, which is running the ball and being the better, stronger, bigger team on the defensive side.
We speak with Ross Jackson on Thursdays here in the Sports Hangover. Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, Locked On Saints, the podcast. You were going over the same names that Mike Triplett and I were doing yesterday, and it's incredible when you start reading the names out loud. And you realize it's almost like an entire new football team. That's how many starters, key players, you're getting back at some point over the next 5 to 6 weeks, Ross. It's nuts. How many players went on IR? How many players either were on suspension or surgery for the season like Michael Thomas? All of that is going to help, which is why I say get through the next 2 weeks. It doesn't really matter how you find a way to win. And quite honestly, Ross, isn't that a sign of a good football team? That no matter the Sunday, no matter the day you play, they find a way to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've done this over and over again, right? Since 2017, we've been able to take lumps of games and sort of categorize them into these big blowout air raid victories, to these, you know, run game victories like what we saw in Baltimore years ago, Chicago the last couple of times they played outside of the playoff game. You look at the Bills game where they ran for six touchdowns. You look at the Christmas Day game where Alvin Kamara ran for six touchdowns by himself. You know, you can see sort of all these different categories of wins for the Saints where they find a different way to pull out a victory. And sometimes they're responding in the moment and creating that as they're sort of responding to what the game situation is, or, you know, what possession looks like and how much time is on the clock, all these other things. Right now, what you're seeing them do is establish an identity early on in the game, which is that they want to run the ball. You'll notice Alvin Kamara ran the ball two times in the first half as a whole against the Carolina Panthers in their loss in Charlotte. When they got the ball in Foxborough, they ran two of the first three plays. They immediately put the ball in Alvin Kamara's hand. That's what it is that they want to be doing, and they're willing to go out there and do that. And it's an interesting thing because you have a pair of running backs right now, because even Tony Jones Jr., he only got a couple of carries last week, but he averaged 6 yards on each of those carries. I think this week maybe you see more Tony Jones Jr., particularly, you know, at home, and there's comfort there and everything that's going to be going on around that, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But this team will continue to find ways to do that, because you have these pair of backs that can create on their own, and then an offensive line that is struggling right now to stay healthy, but is still succeeding enough to buy time, reset the line of scrimmage. The offensive line came up huge on that big 13-play drive where the Saints ran 10 plays for 55 yards on the ground. The offensive line came up huge at that moment where they really needed to, and I think you'll continue to see that for this team while they're working to get healthy with what feels like you could almost take everybody that's on injured reserve, PUP, or suspension right now, and then make an 11-man unit to send out on the field at this point. That's what the Saints are combating.
I looked at my dad Sunday. I was watching a game with him, and I said, that's a confidence builder. It's a confidence building drive there with that offensive line, as you're mentioning there. Speaking with Ross Jackson and Ross Jackson NOLA over on Twitter. Look, the identity, as Sean Payton touched on this week, you build by the week. Well, through 3 weeks, it's simple. They're a defensive-led team. They're playing very well because they even figured it out. We touched on it last week at Carolina. They didn't give up many points in the second half after looking like they couldn't stop them in the first half. Man, the play by so many players really continues to stand out. So let's kind of do rapid fire. I'm going to name you a player. Give me your best 30 to 60 seconds. But I want to start with the Debo because he's a rookie. He played 100% of the snaps. You traded for Bradley Roby. And right now, I'm keeping a Debo on there.
Yeah, before the season, I asked Marshawn Lattimore, when you came into the NFL in 2017 and you joined the New Orleans Saints, you had an immediate impact on this team. It looks like there are going to be players around you that are going to be looking as rookies to make immediate impacts as well. What would your advice be to them? And I was specifically referring to Paul Tadebo because we knew that they were still trying to figure out the cornerback two situation. Is it Ken Crawley? Is it Patrick Robinson? Is it Grant Haley? Is it Paul Tadebo? And then it turned in, you see all these other players that are also doing it, Peyton Turner, Pete Warner, so on and so forth. But the thing that Marshawn Lattimore talked about was being right on the mental side of the game. And Paulson Adebo so far has done that. His composure is palpable on the field. His confidence is obviously very evident. And it's surprising for a guy that didn't get to play football in 2020 after opting out and then also had his 2019 season in early at a time where his draft stock was starting to fall. And so his confidence, his composure, everything you're seeing so far this season has been absolutely remarkable. And I do think right now, even though they spent that third-round pick for Roby, they spent the third-round pick to bring Paulson Adebo in. I think Paulson Adebo holds that spot right now.
You mentioned his name, Lattimore. He's only played in two games, but he's looked really darn good. And that's kind of what we have been hearing and seeing in training camp, right? No surprise. He led the team in tackles with the cast, man.
Yeah, and, you love seeing everything that he did on Sunday with that, one hand. He was out there and had the couple of defensive stops down in the running game as well. And so, like, if I had to give my quickest take on Marshawn Lattimore, the words that I would use would just be all-around cornerback. It gives you the opportunity to be this guy that can shut down the number one receiver that you're going up against, but he's also going to come up and play in run support. He's going to make tackles for you. He'll stop Mike Williams on a 4th-and-5, 4 yards down the field to win your games for you, or he'll get an interception against a rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, to steal the game. Whatever it is that you need, Marshawn Lattimore, and his bright, shiny new contract as well, let's not forget, has so far found a way to come through for this team over and over again throughout the years.
The play of DeMario Davis had a lot of people this week discussing the ranking and where is he at already in top linebackers to ever wear a Florida Lee helmet. Where do you see him?
Oh, that's a really good, it's funny, amongst the NFL, I would put him top two along with Fred Warner within the, within Saints history. Oh, cause there's, you kind of have to look at the different responsibilities as well. So I think if I were to eliminate the pass rushing linebackers, the guys that were out there and sort of terrorizing like Ricky Jackson, right? Different role than where DeMario Davis plays. But you look at guys like Sam Mills, the Mighty Mouse concept, everybody that, these guys that go out there, I think DeMario Davis is pretty close to the top as well. And he's certainly the second best free agent addition this team has ever had behind Drew Brees, of course. So I've put him up there near the top so far. I mean, you're looking at a guy that came in and immediately had over 100 sacks in a season. And then you're looking at a guy that goes out there and does everything, just like we talked about with Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, he's getting pressure on the quarterbacks. He's covering in the middle of the field. He's taking away the middle of the field for the quarterbacks. He's out there covering the flats, making plays in the screen game. His ability to recognize plays developing in front of him and then be able to what we call click and close on those ball carriers is absolutely remarkable. We saw it 3 or 4 times against the Patriots where he snuffed out some screen passes as well as some, additional misdirection out there. And so, look, I think this guy is playing right now like one of the best inside linebackers in the NFL, one of the best off-ball linebackers in the NFL, and I don't see that play stopping or slowing down at any point. He's helped to revitalize defense in the city of New Orleans.
I got 90 seconds here, Ross. I think the Saints win for these top three reasons. The defense will absolutely feed off the energy. I think the energy in the dome is a reason. And I also think the third reason is offensively, if Will Clapp is practicing, he's going to start at center. It's going to help that offensive line, and they're going to make some plays.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I have the Saints winning this game as well. Right now, the New York Giants injury report looks like the New Orleans Saints when they were going into Charlotte. It is a tough situation in New York right now with two wide receivers dealing with hamstring injuries. Blake Martinez, the one and only linebacker that had the real ability to match up with Alvin Kamara, and even that was questionable, is out for the season. They're going to have a young linebacker back there in Tay Crowder who not only has to play all of the roles, but he's also got to get the defense set up. Look for Sean Payton to go after Tay Crowder early and often during the game over the middle of the field. Alvin Kamara is going to be the big weapon there. And as you mentioned, the home field, the dome field advantage, the first full capacity New Orleans Saints home game since January 5th of 2020. It's going to be rocking in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The good times are going to roll. I think it's going to be phenomenal for them. It's going to be very challenging for a young quarterback who is error heavy in Daniel Jones.
Don't judge me if you see me in the press box on Sunday. I may or may not have tailgated. Ross Jackson locked on Saints. That Ross Jackson knows the way to follow on Twitter. Looking forward to the game, and I can't wait just to – I want to be in that atmosphere. It's going to be fun, man. Thanks for joining us as always, sir.
Always, brother, always. Take care. Stay safe. Don't tailgate too much now. Be careful.
No. You know, if I wear shades inside, then you know how much I tailgate. And if I'm chewing on a lot of mints. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it, sir.
Take care, bud.
For sure. Hey, folks, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL is DraftKings. You know how to do it by now, right? Download the DraftKings app, put in the code LaRose, get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes after that first deposit. Code LaRose, app DraftKings. Do it now. When we come back, fantasy football questions. Real easy. I don't know anything about fantasy football. I'm terrible. Benny Heisler does. So we'll go to break, and we'll bring him on in. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? So your wipers are streaking? It might be time for a new set. We've got a great deal to help you get the job done and get ready for that rainy fall weather. Right now, you can get a $15 AutoZone gift card when you buy two Bosch Envision wiper blades. And we've even got more ways to shop. Just order online with our free same-day store pickup or next-day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on, so don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengap.
Ben Heisler, gambling expert, fantasy expert over there at Bet Sighted, sir. Victory is mine. I am off the schneid. Finally, a win in fantasy football a week ago, sir. It feels fantastic. It feels incredible.
It's amazing what'll happen, Gus, when you finally get that first win. I remember my first win. It was an exciting time in my young life, and I'm glad that you were able to have that moment for yourself.
Oh, it was so good. I doused myself with water. I mean, it was really good. We got to earn the Gatorade, right? I need at least two wins, three wins before we start doing that. As always, though, I always ask you each and every week, injuries plays a factor. How teams are playing, you know, trends-wise, what have you. I mean, look, there was a lot of excitement last week for Justin Fields. People probably started him, and then we saw what happened there. How much of really unpredictability kind of matters on where you start and where you don't with players?
Yeah, I think the Fields thing was about as unpredictable as you possibly could get. I mean, I think even the people that, you know, consider Matt Nagy to be one of the more incompetent coaches in the league would still have thought, you know, the rookie quarterback is making his first start against one of the most dominant pass rushers in the league. Maybe, just maybe, we'll change the game plan around to either put him on the move a little bit or add some extra protection or throw in a blocking tight end just to, you know, try and make sure that he feels a little more comfortable. Nope. They rolled out the Andy Dalton game plan, and we saw what happened. So I think there's always going to be sort of this inherent randomness to a lot of these games. There's always going to be upsets week to week. I mean, underdogs have been, you know, well above 500, covering the spread so far this year in the NFL. I think trying to find the edge in fantasy is looking for games that have these sort of higher projected over-unders, looking for matchup opportunities where if you have a wide receiver that is going up against a team that, you know, has struggled against opposing wide receivers, even if the team is good, you know, not necessarily just looking at the team's win-loss record, but where they stack up as far as giving up points and yards after catch, so that, you know, especially if you're a team that's likely playing from behind, it gives you a little bit more of an opportunity to catch up. So there's always going to be variance in the NFL. It's what makes the sport so special. But I think the sort of inherent randomness that comes along with it is always going to be something that's a challenge as well.
At Benny Heist is the way to follow over on Twitter, managing editor for Bet Sided Gambling, fantasy expert. We get him on Thursdays. Jack, as always, you tend to lead things off, sir. So up there the air and it goes, and you have kicked it off. Thank you for calling you on the phone with Ben. What you got, bud?
Try not to disappoint. I want to be first.
Okay.
What's up, Jack?
Ben, I want to let you. Ben. I just wanted to let you know I didn't have to go full Fredo on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but the boat is still on the lake, just in case, you know, in case it changes. I have three wide receiver questions. Okay, first, do you think Brandon Ayuk has gotten out of the doghouse based on, you know, last week's game? And the other two things is Robert Woods and Robbie Anderson. Is there any way they can get their quarterbacks to notice them? Because they just seem to be, you know, they just don't seem to be part of the plan. Like, for instance, the game last Thursday night, Robbie Anderson was open several times, and Donald just doesn't seem to look at him. But I'll hang up a little, guys. Y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Jack. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk. I think it was very encouraging to see him start to get some targets. He was one of my favorite guys coming into this season. Considering if you looked at his numbers over the last several weeks of the 2020 season, I mean, you're looking at a 14-target game with a touchdown, 16 targets, 13. You know, he can be a very active part of the 49ers offense. The problem is that you just haven't seen a lot of connection with him and with Jimmy Garoppolo. And the question I think we have to ask ourselves is, how much longer is Jimmy G going to be the starter in San Francisco? Now, I don't think he's played himself out of the starting spot yet, Gus, but, I mean, Trey Lance, every time he touches the ball, magic seems to happen, and clearly the fan base, if they start to lose a few more games, they're going to put some pressure on Kyle Shanahan to go ahead and put in the number three overall pick. So all three guys, Brandon Ayuk, Robbie Anderson, Robert Woods, are all guys that I am not trying to sell on at this point. Yeah, I mean, look at how dominant the Rams' offense has been, and they're doing this without much of a running game. And Robert Woods, yeah, the numbers haven't been particularly good, but he's still averaging about six targets per game. The problem is right now Cooper Kupp is wide open, and he's increased his speed, and nobody can seem to break him down. But at some point, teams are going to adjust, and they're going to dare Matthew Stafford to find Robert Woods. Same thing with Sam Darnold. You can only connect with DJ Moore for so long. You have to take some more shots to Robbie Anderson. So I just think there's enough of a sample for all these guys that they're going to bounce back. You don't necessarily have to start him right away. In fact, I thought last week's matchup for Robbie Anderson was one of the best matchups that he's seen all year, and it just didn't work out in that opportunity against Houston. But I'm not giving up on any of these guys just yet.
No doubt about it, and obviously matchups matter as well. Look, you look at the slate of games this week, and Ben, there's some that you just go, okay, I'll start with tonight, right? Jacksonville at Cincinnati. I'm immediately going, yes, this is Burrow and Chase. You got to start them, whether you have them as a starter or not. They should succeed there. Trevor Lawrence, he has a couple of touchdowns already, five in the season. He's throwing some picks, though, there as well. When you look at this matchup, could it be one of those games where you're starting or sitting players based off of, you know, your feel that, that maybe Cincy could be pretty decent?
I think Cincinnati's defense is looking way better than we ever would have anticipated. So, like, some of your, maybe some of your fringe players, like if you have, you know, DJ Chark or Laviska Shenault, you know, I'm probably not doing everything I can to force them into my starting lineup. But, you know, I think Marvin Jones, I've liked what I've seen with his connection with Trevor Lawrence. He leads the team in targets, has had no less than 8 in 3 games so far this year. So I think he's a startable option. You mentioned Ja'Marr Chase, like, rocketing up the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year plays. And he actually hasn't gotten a ton of targets. He's just made the most out of them. He has 4 touchdowns. And this is pretty crazy. He has 4 touchdowns on 11 catches. So at some point, like, law of average says that's just not going to continue to happen. So Chase is awesome. And I'm really impressed by how well he's been able to get going, especially with all of the issues of drops in the preseason. So I think you start him, but also know that, you know, he's not going to catch multiple touchdowns every week. And then I think this is obviously a big, big Joe Mixon week for Cincinnati. He's, you know, the Bengals are running, Gus, far more than we've ever seen them do. And I think it's in large part to Burrow trying to get himself that comfortable
from that
ACL injury. And you can run on Jacksonville. They're 5th worst in the league if it's stopping the run. So I anticipate this being a big Joe Mixon game. I think it's going to be plenty of opportunities. And then, you know, for Burrow, you know, he's been solid so far, not outstanding, but still thrown for multiple touchdowns in every game this year. He's got 7 on the season. So I think it'll be a solid game, probably low scoring compared to what maybe most would anticipate. But I do think Burrow remains a startable option. For Trevor Lawrence, I just don't think now is the time. But compared to all the other rookie quarterbacks, he certainly looks much more competent than everybody else.
I think it's Blaine. Blaine, you got a question for men? Hello?
Yeah, I got a question for Ben.
Go ahead.
What's up, Blaine?
Hey, I got one question in a PPR league. What do you value? Do you value target total and target share percentage, or do you value maybe lesser targets but a higher powered offense?
I think it's a week-to-week matchup. I think target share is really important. For anybody that's not, you know, accustomed to hearing what target share or target share percentage is, it's basically the amount of times that a quarterback is throwing the ball to that selected receiver. You know, I'll give you a case in point. Like, the Chiefs' offense is still one of the best ones in the league, but, you know, Mecole Hardman doesn't see often targets, and he's their number 2 wide receiver. So it does matter as to who the quarterback feels comfortable getting the ball to, but also know that if you're looking to roll out a sleeper, like in daily fantasy, for example, you know, maybe you find the opportunistic matchup with a high over-under, and you say, okay, maybe this is the week that I can use a dart throw on Mecole Hardman. But I think targets do matter because it's a level of comfort between the quarterback and its receiver. And also it's an indication that they're creating separation and the quarterback is seeing it and finding it their way. It's not going to be every single week you just look at target share, but it is a very important stat.
Ben, I'm going to try to do my best here because we got a question online from Chichi Get the Yayo 83, and he screenshotted basically his bench. He needs 1 receiver, 1 flex. He's got 3 running backs on that: Dylan, Pollard, Madison. And he's got 4 receivers, another running back, and Gibson as well.
Let's start with the running back.
Okay.
And try and work our way through it and sort of do a little process of elimination. So there's A.J. Dillon, you said Tony Pollard, and then who is the third?
Madison and also Gibson, Washington and Minnesota's running back. Okay.
Okay. So of all those guys, I think Antonio Gibson is set to have the best week. I know that his start to the season hasn't been ideal, and neither has Washington, but that's their workhorse running back. And at some point, they're going to start to get him a few more passes. They keep talking him up, Gus, as someone that they can use in a Christian McCaffrey-type role. So if you can't do it on the road against Atlanta on the track, I'm not sure what you're doing. So of all those running backs, Gibson, to me, is probably the guy I like the most.
All right, and then he has 3 receivers: McLaurin, Lamb, Thielen.
Ooh, and so he has to decide between one of those.
He needs one receiver and a flex, and also Cooper. I'm sorry. So McLaurin, Lamb, Thielen, Cooper are his receivers. He needs one receiver.
He's got both of the Dallas wide receivers, too. Yeah. I hope if he has Dak Prescott as his quarterback, he'll go ahead and stack him up. Although I will tell you that the Carolina's defense has been, outstanding so far, yeah. like literally one of the top defenses in the NFL. So I don't know if I'm necessarily running to go ahead and play the Cowboys. And the receivers on this team are so good that I'm trying to find every way to get McLaurin in the lineup. I think Thielen's matchup against Cleveland is advantageous. I think you go ahead, if I have to say, like, all right, you got to put one in the wide receiver spot, I'm still going with Scary Terry. And if I'm looking for one in the running back spot, I think Gibson's still probably the play as well.
Ben, tell folks what they can find over there at Ben's, at BetSided, sir.
Yeah, there's been a ton that we've gone through today. We got our upset specials of the week for college and NFL, and we've actually gotten off to, like, this crazy start as far as picking straight-up upsets in college football and the NFL, like somewhere along the lines of 60%. And it's actually been better than our record against the spread so far. But I think we're going to turn things around. If you're looking for all the different previews for a crazy slate of college football, if you're looking for a few ways to bet Thursday night football or a couple ways to try and go about what your prop bet options might look like, all that stuff is available, and it's super easy to read, digestible. So it's not going to be overwhelming content. It's all at fansided.com/betsided. Or if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do so at betsided.
Ben, as always, man, I appreciate the time. Look forward to every Thursday's getting together and chatting. And as always, man, have fun during the week. And we got games tonight starting, so let's get going.
Let's get going, guys. Have a good weekend, my friend.
For sure. Follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis, H-E-I-S. The voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers next on ESPN New Orleans.
Poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic. You'll always be a
VIP. Cash Magic. Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Your Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Again, folks, it's been a fun start to the NFL season tonight. Jags and Bengals, Cincinnati 7.5-point favorites, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings wants you to feel the NFL action like tonight, like never before. The free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. So remember, most importantly, though, this is not Jordan Kleber's fantasy football endeavor. Okay, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Very easy. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code LaRose. And this week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. All you got to do is enter the code LaRose and get a free shot at millions. It's really that easy. And remember, look, the NFL trusts them, so I guess you can as well. And I don't know if you trust the NFL. I'm just telling you, they trust them. So go ahead. It's safe, secure, and reliable. All right, time to talk about the Tigers taking on the Tigers. Voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Mr. Chris Blair, you enjoyed yourself last week, sir. Does this sound familiar?
Calls for the snap. He now has it. Pulls it out of the belly, looking to throw. Got it to Boutte at midfield. Boutte between the hashes, down the field, gets by the final defender. Touchdown, Fighting Tigers. 64-yard touchdown reception.
Chris, it's real simple. Throw it deep or throw it short. Just Boutte, however it is. Get him the football, huh? Chris, good afternoon, man.
Yeah, no, we were all excited because we kept seeing the middle of the field wide open. And when you got a playmaker like Kayshon Boutte, just getting the ball, whether it's, you know, 20 yards down the field or 8 yards down the field, he can make that happen. And they started utilizing the middle of the field, which was there all afternoon. And big play. But he's a big playmaker, so no surprise there. Hopefully he'll be able to make a few more plays. I mean, when you lead the country or tie for the country with most touchdowns, doing a pretty good job at a wide receiver.
You know, you take a look, obviously, at that game, and look, it opened up SEC play. We talked about it last week, whether it was a revenge game or not. You just wanted to see the Tigers make adjustments, play better, and continue to improve as you now start to get into the month of October, Chris, which actually starts tomorrow. When you look at that game, there are a lot more high notes, right, than low notes. How would you look at that game in Starkville a week ago?
I think you get a win on the road 28-25. And I go back to what O was saying last week when I asked about the revenge factor. I mean, I kind of related to what he was trying to tell his team. If you're so wrapped up in revenge, you're going to be hyped up for a game. You understand what's at stake every year, every game, every opponent, no matter where the game's being played. But if you add a little bit too much revenge, there's a fine line to becoming too emotional and letting that take over. And I thought, you know, his message to the team last week was, hey, we'll remember how embarrassed we felt, but that was on us. It wasn't really placed at Mississippi State. So let's just do what we do, focus on what we do, go out and execute, and we'll be able to come out on top. And I think that's what happened. Late in the game, did they want more points? Did they need more points? Sure. They didn't score again after the 11:45 mark in the fourth quarter. And that's got to be a concern because, you know, most teams in the SEC, home or away, are not going to lay down. They're going to keep swinging. And the competition is going to get tougher each week as we get deeper into the year. So I think that was the takeaway. I like the way they handled their business. And it's not all that different from this week. I mean, you could easily look back to last year's 48-11 thrashing at Jordan-Hare and say, hey, we got to get revenge on these guys. But, you know, I asked Ed about it last night. Sounds like the same tone this year. Let's be embarrassed by what we didn't do last year, and let's do it better on our home turf Saturday night.
There were some nice performances by some players on Saturday a week ago as well. Which of them sort of was more important or really important to the continued growth of this football team?
From an individual player standpoint?
Yep.
I would go with Cordell Plott because I think he's one of the most underrated defenders in the SEC.
Now, okay.
You can understand why when you come into the year with Derek Stingley at corner and Eli Ricks at the other corner, and maybe there was more question marks about how Cordell would play as a safety. But he's impacting games and saw it early. And I go back to when you're on the road, especially in Starkville, when those annoying cowbells start, it's just a constant, it gives you a headache. And, you know, know, when you're going on the road in that environment, to come up with big plays early, you know, they were driving down the field in that opening drive, and it looked like, you know, 4 yards here, 6 yards here. Next thing you know, they're on the Tiger side of the field and marching towards the end zone. And, you know, that's a great open field tackle. It's a solid textbook hit by Cordell Flott. Knocks the ball loose. Damone Clark picks it up, and suddenly both the Bulldog team and the fans got put back on their heels a little bit. Max Johnson and company come in. They get on the board 7-0. Boom. I think that's great when you go on the road. You kind of, you know, it's not going to take them out of the game, but it lowers the tone at least for a little bit, like just the feet of it. And then the big interception, and just showing, you know, read the quarterback's eyes, showed his verticality, his athleticism, goes up and pulls that down. Another big play when they were driving down the field. So I think Cordell Flott's impact was huge. And, you know, Damone Clark is awarded SEC Defensive Player of the Week, a career-high 15 tackles. He was all over the field. I thought that was big. And what's probably emerging for me on the offensive side is Trey Palmer. You know, Trey Palmer, his freshman year, everybody was like, hey, this is going to be the next great receiver in the line of great receivers. And then last year, he kind of took a step back. And you didn't see him make plays in special teams. You didn't really see him making plays in the passing game. And you're starting to see it again. And the return he had against Mississippi State, you know, that's what Coach A said. We've got to get some of those yards in special teams.
Right.
And that was a hell of a run by Trey Palmer.
3.5-point favorite. So the LSU Tigers, 8 p.m. kickoff in Death Valley there in Tiger Stadium. Sir, when you look at this game, it's interesting because I don't know sort of – does it come down to which set of Tigers do you trust the most? Like, could we legitimately see – I'm expecting to see T.J. Finley at some point maybe in this game coming back to Tiger Stadium when he literally just started a game in Tiger Stadium not even a full year ago. It's going to be an interesting game, man. What are you expecting Saturday as we wrap up?
You know, I understand that. And, you know, when you look at the body of work so far, there are question marks. There's still question marks. And, you know, frankly, there's teams all across the country that if you talk to their coaches, they're going to say, hey, we got some question marks here. We got to get better, whether you're Alabama or whether you're the worst team in FBS football. But I think when you look at specifically Auburn and LSU, Auburn and Coach Harsin, I think, may be scratching their head a little bit more. It's frustrating for the LSU coaching staff and players because they want to be better in the running game. They want their offensive line to have a lot more consistency. But if you're Auburn, you've been really high and really low. You know, you go up there and lay it all on the line. You come up short, you know, in front of 109,000 at Happy Valley. You lose that game at State. And then it kind of was a hangover effect. You come out and do virtually nothing against Georgia State for 3-plus quarters and have to pull it out of the bag with T.J. Finley coming in and adding the spark to beat Georgia State. For LSU, it's more like, hey, we got embarrassed and disappointed week one, and we saw very vividly what our issues were, and now we're working on those to correct those. Some of those have gotten better. Some of them still need a lot of work. But progressively, LSU is the team that it's a matter of, are they going to get better this week than they were last week? For Auburn, I think it's which team is going to show up at Tiger Stadium after 8 o'clock in the dark in that venue where we haven't won since 1999. So I think, and again, I know I'm biased. I look to be purple and go Lindsay. I think there's more question marks for Auburn than there is LSU.
There you go. I would agree with that, especially when they're still trying to figure out what they're doing on the offensive end. You know what kind of defense they can have at times, but they were trailing in that game. We know this history has been incredible. All I know is this. Tune in. 8 o'clock Saturday night. It should be exciting. Lots of fireworks, Chris. Thank you for your time.
You got it, guys.